asking for Pastor Shannon. We prayed for Shannon, Pastor Shannon, our dear pastor, in the prayer room. So I'm feeling in my heart, visualize Jesus. I'm serious. I know the scriptures, and I know that's, but visualize Jesus is going to speak to us right now. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, you'd come to each of our hearts. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear and eyes to see you. And I'm going to pray Catherine Kuhlman's prayer. Holy Spirit, we're asking for more of your presence and your power in our lives today. Woo, today. Amen.
Good morning. I think I've already said that, but I'll say it again. It is a good morning. Is there a reason for it to be a good morning? Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad at it. Say that every, we can say that every morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's an exciting thing that we have. A promise of the Lord. All of the promises of the Lord are ours. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, Jesus sat down with his disciples and partook a meal. We call it the Last Supper or the Passover. Last Passover supper he ate with his disciples. And I always loved the words he says is this. I have longed to eat this meal with you. This meal that Jesus is eating with him isn't just about it being the Passover. He is the Passover. And they haven't quite come to recognize or realize that, but he is the Passover lamb. And he shares the bread, and he says, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, at the end of the meal, he takes the cup and blesses it and says, share this amongst yourself because this is the blood of the new covenant, my blood in the new covenant. And I imagine sitting there, the disciples kind of had an understanding, but not really. They kind of knew what he was talking about, but not really. But they participated in it. And every time we come to the communion table, because it was like, for me, it was just like, oh my goodness, we're at communion already. As a family, as a congregation, here we are again. And it's every time we come. And one of the things I'm trying not to do this morning is rush it as I go into then the message. Because this is significant and important to us. It's huge. So my message isn't on communion this morning. It's on the Holy Spirit. But guess who's a part of that communion meal? Who resides in Jesus at that Holy Spirit? Sorry, Rod, when you were saying, see Jesus in me, I immediately was humble. Oh, no. But no, that's not true. See, the same Spirit that's in Jesus is in me and is in you as a believer. And as we come to this table, I hope that you recognize this isn't the only time that you can take communion. In fact, you can do communion 3 times a day, 10 times a day, whatever, as often as you do this. And why do we want to do that? What is it that we want to remember? Well, I'm going to take from I've got to find it here. I've lost my place. Just a second. Okay. So in chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And listen to this, verse 20, by a new and living way open to us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest, we're just saying that, over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from all guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And then it goes on to say, let us hold unswerving to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We're coming to the communion table, the union table, the common, what we share in common as believers in Jesus Christ. We have a new and living way. We're not just coming and chewing on a nice piece of cookie and a little sip of wine or grape juice in our case. We're coming to celebrate. We have a new and living way as we remember what Jesus did. Do this in remembrance of me, of the new life, the new and living way we now have in Jesus. And so I'm going to invite you now to come and pick up the cup of the new covenant and the body that was broken for us and bring it back to your chairs. Come on up. Don't wait for me to finish. I'll just in case. And take it back to your chair, and then we will come together and partake. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us partake. Thank you, Lord. And by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. Let us partake. Thank you, Lord. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, his name is Jesus. Let us draw near to God with sincere hearts, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Amen and amen. And Lord, we come before you with sincere hearts. Thank you again and again for the great sacrifice that you made, not only dying on the cross, but taking and bearing our sins there for us so that we can be sprinkled clean, washed completely clean. We give you honor, power, glory. We lift our hands to you and say, thank you again. You deserve all the honor. You are high above it all. Thank you, Lord. In your glorious, glorious name, we pray. Amen and amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. An old song comes to my mind, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to take him, just to trust him. Somewhere on here, there it is. This morning we are going to move on with that fullness in our hearts of what he's done. And we're going to continue in looking at the Holy Spirit. You know, I have to admit that I'm quite often guilty of not preaching and sharing on the Holy Spirit. the one who's here with us always, the one who Jesus promised. He said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And so we when I say a generic we, it may not include you, but it certainly does include me at times, have not put Holy Spirit front and center like he needs to be in my life. And so as we look at continuing on in our word on the Holy Spirit, I don't know, is there a... Yeah, I'm pushing, but it's not moving. That's all. There we go. So we're looking at the Holy Spirit, and this is part two of part two. And we're looking at fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the empowered Christian life. You know, that's one of the things I want to encourage you. If you don't feel like you're living in any power, where's your relationship with Holy Spirit? And I'm not, it's just a challenge. I just ask myself, okay, am I so caught up in what's happening in the world that I forget I have a friend who is within me and beside me and walking with me and is the power of God in my life? Because I'm trying to do it in my own strength. Yeah. The one who's got us the victory, that's right. And so one of the things is we're looking at that, we want to know the Holy Spirit, we want to understand him. And we've looked at this time, last couple of times, the Holy Spirit is God. He's part of the Trinity. He's omnipresent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipotent. He is like the Father, like the Son, in that they are equal in who they are. Third person of the Trinity. They are equal in that. So what I want to say to this is, have you ever considered this? That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are not in competition with each other. They're not in competition with each other. But have you ever thought, oh my goodness, I'm spending too much time thinking of the Father or thinking of Holy Spirit or thinking of Jesus and not, and like they're going to get offended or jealous if I spend too much time and I don't, you know. And some of you say, no, I never thought of it. But some of us have. Some of us have. And it's one of the things we need to recognize, they're not in competition with each other. If you spend the morning just praising Jesus and worshiping and honoring Jesus, Holy Spirit isn't jealous standing there going, the Father isn't going, hello, I'm here too. They're not in competition with each other. Though they have uniquely separate identities, if I could put it that way. They are one in thought and understanding and feeling and ideas and views and opinions of you and me, of grace, of salvation, of righteousness and love. They think the same. I'll go here. Our scripture verse, wait a minute, just a second. Let me just see this. Yeah, this is where I wanted to go. The person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a little quote I found. Of course, I didn't write down the name because that would be, you know, smart thing to do, but I didn't. So Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are distinct in their functions and roles in relationship to creation, salvation. And though they remain one God in essence and are never separated in being, they're still one of the Godhead, will or purpose. For example, the Father initiated creation. Son accomplishes it through his obedience in his life and death. And the Holy Spirit applies it to the believers. This functional distinction is sometimes referred to as economic subordination. What a title, right? But it does not imply that one person is lesser than the other. And again, so I'm just going to go back to our main scripture there, and we'll get to that in a minute. You know, when we look at that, maybe I should go back to that thing. I want to look at, well, what is the function of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Have you ever sat down and listed them? Somebody did. I've got revtrev@.com. It's not you, is it? Maybe. Nope. sat down and went through the scriptures and listed all the functions of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to read you all the scriptures, but I printed some lists. It's double-sided back there if you want to go home and take a sheet and do a little word study, a little scripture study on the Holy Spirit. So what are the functions? I'm going to read them really quickly. He leads, Holy Spirit leads and directs. He speaks in us, to us, and through us. He gives power to cast out devils. He releases power in us. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. He comes on us and falls on us. He baptizes us and fills us. He gives new birth. He leads us into worship. He flows like a river from the spirit of man. He ministers truth. He dwells in people. He gives comfort, health, and strength. He proceeds from the Father. He shows us the things that are to come. He gifts us with the gifts of tongues. He releases prophecies, dreams, and visions. He can transport people physically. Yes. He brings direction and guidance. He is holiness. He brings life and gives life. He invites us to walk with him. He groans and prays and intercedes for us. He is a sword, the sword of the Spirit, right? He is the word of God, because he's the one who inspired the writing of the word of God. He produces fruit in our lives. He helps us in our weaknesses. He bears witness to us. He's the spirit of adoption. He gives power to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That means, if you didn't know, I had to look up mortify. I thought I knew what it meant. I did. It means to bring death to the things of the flesh that are contrary to the things of God. He provides the power for sign, wonders, and preaching. He ministers love. He searches the deep things of God. He quickens our mortal bodies. He brings revelation. He reveals to us what has been given by God. He washes and sanctifies and purifies and justifies. He gives gifts. He seals us. He is liberty. He changes us into the image of Christ. He is the promise of the blessing of Abraham. He releases the cry to the Father. He gives us access to the Father. He is building us together for God. He strengthens us with might. He is the one who brings unity. He is wine. He supplies us. And when I say wine, I'm not talking about... He is wine, the fruit of the vine. He supplies. He fellowships. He is grace. He is glory. He speaks to the churches. He calls for the bridegroom. It says the church and the spirit call, come, Lord Jesus. He teaches. He gives commands. He provides power to be a witness. He provides boldness. He gives us sight. He commissions us. He restrains. He appoints ministries and gives them authorities. He releases love. He is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He confesses Jesus as Lord. The Holy Spirit brings the gospel. He is a keeping power. He brings renewal. He moves on the believer, and he convicts the world. Anybody want the Holy Spirit to be a friend in your life? Amen. Amen. Man, we got a good friend. We don't want to ignore him or step aside or step back from him or push him into a corner. Now, let me see here. Yeah, I'm ahead of myself by one here. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And I think sometimes we grab a hold of grace, and yes, we know the love of God, but we forget about there's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And again, that's kind of our main scripture as we go through this part. Acts, but you will receive power. We heard about that this morning as we studied Acts in Sunday Morning Live in the adult class. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We don't go out in our own strength. We go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful thing, because some of us are pretty timid. A lot of us are pretty bold, but sometimes we get it wrong. But when you're led by the Holy Spirit, I love the thing. We did what seemed right in our own eyes and with the Holy Spirit. to the Holy Spirit and to us. They had conversation. Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. So when we've been looking at the Holy Spirit, we were talking about, let's see if this is a, from Luke, and this is the scripture about Jesus. He was baptized in water. Holy Spirit came on him. He went into the desert, led by the Holy Spirit. And as he's in the desert, he's tempted by the enemy. And the word of God, who's inspired by who? The Holy Spirit. Jesus uses the word of God, inspired the Holy Spirit, to defeat the word of the enemy, or to defeat the lies of the enemy. And it says he comes back out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that word power is dunamis. There's all the information. I'm not going to go through it for time's sake. There's the number. You can look it up and see what it's all about in a concordance for yourself. He being Holy Spirit, wants fellowship with us. He wants us to walk that empowered Christian life. He desires fellowship with us. And so as we were looking, I'm just going to pop ahead here. He wants a personal relationship with. How many of us have a personal relationship with Jesus? And that's where the Holy Spirit is. He wants that personal relationship for us to recognize his presence. And again, all of those functionalities that he has that are for us. We need Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit. So we've been looking at four keys to how to become a good friend, how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The first one we looked at was understanding who he is. Man, if we don't know who the Holy Spirit is, if again, there's a list back there of his functions and how he's to be a part of our lives and what he's there to help us with and to be a part of us. Do a little word study. Well, in the word. It's not a word, but whatever. Holy Spirit will lead you because he's the teacher. Again, we looked at this idea. Holy Spirit, and you know this scripture. We're good parents. We know how to give good gifts. We don't give snakes and scorpions when our kids are asking for something else. But how much more the Father will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask. It's right there. The best gift we have from the Father now is Holy Spirit. He's got a good gift for us in Holy Spirit. He's not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit himself. Let's move on. So number one is understanding. Second one was reverence. And we took a deep look at that. And again, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit for whom we're sealed with. And grieving the Holy Spirit, remember, he has feelings too. But to be in reverence is all those things, a profound internal attitude of deep respect, awe, and honor for God. Reflecting his holiness and supreme authority. I don't know if I put these ones up here. I think I did. I think we have these. I'm going to add a couple more to the bottom of them. Let's see. Did I put that there? Sorry. Let me go back. This was last week, so if you didn't get them, they're in your email. I'm not going to go over it again. Otherwise, we're going to run out of time, and we're going to be doing part 2B again. But I love this as being part of the reverencing Holy Spirit. It is a joyful awareness and honor of the Holy Spirit, recognizing he is active, his active influence in your life and the world around you. And it is to live with a conscious understanding that the Holy Spirit is present with all things you are a part of. He's there with you in all things. And when we recognize that, when we have awe for who he is, when we respect the fact, we don't want to be taking him into places that we shouldn't be. Amen. We want to honor who he is. We want to honor his guidance. When he asks us to not, well, I loved, again, I'm going to pick up on Wendell's sharing this morning. We don't want to get caught up in idols, things that are part of our life. You know what? They may not affect somebody else. But if there's things of your past that you know you should not get involved with because of the way it affects you, that's Holy Spirit convicting your heart. Don't get involved in that. You're not ready to go back there. You're not ready to be a part of that. But somebody else might be able, like for instance, you might not be able to walk back into a bar or something like that when you've come out of it because of how it affects you. But somebody else, believer, might be able to because they've been called in there to witness. And so we need to be understanding of what the Holy Spirit is asking us, be obedient to him and be obedient to his word, bringing reverence to who he is. This isn't just some other third person of Godhead, you know. Oh, he's asking me to do something again. Well, if it was God the Father saying it, I might listen. And for sure, if Jesus said it, but not so much Holy Spirit. Really? Is that sometimes how we treat him? That's all I'm saying. We need to have reverence. Remember, the Holy Spirit has feelings. And again, I shared the story last week. How many of you have children that are not, you know, they might have grown adults that are not making righteous decisions. And it hurts your heart because you love them and you want to see the best for them. And that's exactly where Holy Spirit is. He's guiding us, wants to us to make righteous choices as we hear and relate with him. So righteous reverence is a way to fellowship with Holy Spirit. The next one is, here's our next one, is trust. Each of us as a believer needs to trust the Holy Spirit and depend on him. And again, we could go back to the scripture from Luke. He's not some kind of flaky thing. It's a gift of God. He has come as a wonderful gift. One of the things he reveals to us is he's the spirit of adoption. He reminds us that we've been adopted into the kingdom of God. Now I want you to, let's go to, and if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. How many are glad to hear that? That the Holy Spirit is in you, giving life to your mortal body. How many of us believe him? How many of us trust him? Do you? What he said? What he's saying here? It's a wonderful promise that we have of Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know, before Jesus began his ministry, what happened? Holy Spirit came on him. And he did his ministry once he had Holy Spirit. Now, if Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit, shouldn't we? If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more we need him? If Jesus trusted the Holy Spirit, so can we. And we must learn and grow in our trust for him. Learn and grow in our dependence on him. It doesn't happen all in an instant for some of us. Sometimes we have to step by step, little by little as we, well, it's just like any friend. You're not instantly best friends. You kind of step by step, get to know each other, grow with each other, learn about each other. He already knows all about you, so that's wonderful. And he still wants to be your friend. Isn't that great? Dependency on the Holy Spirit is a very powerful way to live. When I am weak, you know what? We often depend on our own abilities and our own power. And you can only go as far as your own strength can take you in that. I heard it put this way. Again, I got to write names down, but I had a note and I liked what it said. It said, what you begin in the flesh has to be sustained by the flesh. Only what begins in the Spirit can be sustained by the Spirit. What you begin in the flesh. See, sometimes we get to a place, well, okay, I'm doing this. Well, Lord, come and bless this. come and bless my mess, in a sense. And he says, no, I want you to lay it down. And let's hear what the Spirit is directing us. I'm not saying there aren't some of those things in there that he might pull out and direct. But are we listening to Holy Spirit's leading, or are we just getting ahead of him? Each of us allows our life, as each of us allows our life to depend on Holy Spirit, how much further will we go? And I want to ask you, can you recognize areas in your life that maybe you've been ignoring Holy Spirit or haven't been? Do you find that sometimes you're too busy and you get to the end of the day or even the end of the week and you realize you haven't even spoken to the Holy Spirit once? Well, kind of pushed him out of the way. And sometimes we do this as we get in our an understanding from Scripture to go do something, and we get out and we're going ahead, but we don't even realize that we kind of pushed the Holy Spirit aside and just got out ahead of his plans. We go out after our own plans and agendas, and sometimes we do it without even seeking his input at all. I'm going to take you to a story in Acts. You'll probably get there. Paul and his companions traveled, well, in fact, we were there this morning, through the region of, someone help me with that word, Phrygia and Galatia. Is that right? Galatia? Close enough. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from going preaching the word in the province of Asia. They had a plan, the way they went. But they got there and the Holy Spirit said, no, not right now. And when they came to the border of Messiah, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go. Timing wasn't right. So they passed by and went down to Taurus. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over here to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So should they not preach the gospel in Asia? Should they not preach the gospel in these other places? Of course. But it wasn't time. And so sometimes we have to be in tune with Holy Spirit, listening to Holy Spirit. Is the time right for this? And the world will tell you, and other Christians and other believers, oh, well, right? But sometimes the Holy Spirit is saying, not yet. And we need to be aware of that. Now, for those of you saying, but I don't know if I hear the Holy Spirit, next time I preach, we're going to talk about knowing whether we're hearing the Holy Spirit or not, okay? So don't get too uncomfortable and get ants in your pants about that, because we're going to look at that. Being within fellowship and having the Holy Spirit means he can have influence in every area of your life. It's to allow him to do what only he can do through you. Doing it in your own strength limits him. And we know in Hebrews it talks about, and they limited the Holy One of Israel by our own understanding, our own way. So we're knowing that we want to depend on and learn to depend on him, the Holy Spirit. Let him lead. Even if we have to follow like Jesus did into the wilderness. Sometimes there's places that feel like wilderness to us. But you know what? God's doing something amazing in that time. Because remember, even Jesus, after being led into the wilderness, even Jesus, hoping or trusting and listening to Holy Spirit, comes back in the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord isn't doing anything to hurt us. He's doing everything to bring us into the fullness that he has for us. And Holy Spirit is the one who he's working through in us to help us get there. Do not be afraid of his direction and leading, but keep growing and obeying. I'm going to move ahead because time-wise here, I want to move on to this last one, and we'll move through it quite quickly here. Communicating with him. Are you guys cool to give me 5 more minutes? Thank you. Communicating with the Holy Spirit means that you have an awareness of him. An awareness of somebody standing beside you and with you that you would turn and talk to. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far shores of the sea, even there, your hand, don't you love this? I'm trying to run away from you. But even there, your hand, it's not there to smack me down. Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Oh, what a wonderful Lord we have. Holy Spirit is right there with us. Faithful, 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 yes. Faithful one, so unchanging. Faithful, faithful, faithful. One of the greatest things that we have is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And one of the wonderful things that we have in our time and age is every one of us can own a Bible, own the Word of God written on paper, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when we get into the Word of God, well, let's just take a little look at Peter here. Oops. Sorry, I'm not sure why that one is there. Well, let me back up because I think I'm missing a slide I thought was here. It's not. So let me read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For the prophet never had its prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God can be trusted. And the Holy Spirit wants to guide us in the Word. He wants to reveal to us. And so as we look at the Word of God, as we take time to study and engage the Word of God and let Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our counselor, and our guide, show us the Word of God. Show us the promises of God, the things God has for us. Oh my goodness. We get excited. We again come to that place where we recognize his presence with joy because of the wonderful things the Lord is revealing. I'm sorry, I'm trying to edit as I read here. Communication with the Lord is also prayer. And sometimes our time of prayer doesn't always have to be about a shopping list or needs or whatever. Sometimes, how many of you like to fish? Okay, a couple of them. How many of you have gone out, dropped a line off the edge and just sat there waiting for the fish and had a conversation with Holy Spirit? How many of you have been out in the garden, planting, maybe weeding, maybe harvesting. And as you do that, oh, got some hands about the kids' table. And as we're out there doing that, we can be having a communication with Holy Spirit, looking at the, because I'll tell you what, when we're doing everyday life, Holy Spirit likes to bring revelation to us about God. One of the songs we like to sing here is Creation Calls, right? Creation Calls. I see God. And he speaks to our spirit as we sing. How many love when we sing worship? And the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts then as we worship, as he leads us in worship. So communication starts with an awareness of him. If you don't believe he's there, you're not going to talk to him. You're not going to listen to him. And the Holy Spirit is aware of you. And he desires to be involved in every area of your life. And when you embrace Holy Spirit, and I'm going to tell you, it's not because you feel a tingly. It's not because, oh, in your grossest moment of icky feeling, it's maybe the best time to say, I don't feel anything but what's happening around me right now. But I know you're there, and I'm trusting, I'm having faith in you, Holy Spirit, the God of all comfort. Sorry. One of the deepest pits that we can have is when we lose a loved one unexpectedly. Well, at any time, really. But when that news comes and it zings and it hits us right in the bottom of our, and we just can't find. But it's in that moment that you know you can trust Holy Spirit, who is the counselor and the comforter. And you know that the saints are praying, Comforter, Holy Spirit, comfort them. In that moment that they just can't find the words or that moment. He's a wonderful friend. And so I'm going to, again, just encourage you to keep walking the walk and embrace him. One of the things I shared with you a couple of weeks ago is if you have a phone or a Fitbit or something, put a little alarm on. It's going to go off every so often. And when you feel that, you just, that's right, Holy Spirit, I haven't. Create a habit. So eventually you don't need the phone or the watch or the, you're practicing the presence. You're growing in getting to know and embrace the amazing Holy Spirit. And as we do that, you know what starts happening? As we walk, listening and hearing, as we embrace him there, we start seeing the manifestation of Holy Spirit. Amen? I saw you look, so I'm going to wrap her up. I've done longer than five. Somebody's hungry. And that somebody's me. Father, why don't you stand with me? Father, we delight and rejoice in the fact that you loved and cared for us so much that even Jesus said, listen, I'm sending you Holy Spirit so you'll not be as orphans. It would not feel like an orphan. So Holy Spirit, I just ask for each and every one of us here that we just grow in such a deep fellowship and dependence on you, that your manifest presence will be in such a place that we would be like Peter. Everywhere we go, our shadow would just bring your power and your glory. Again, as we go from this place, we give you honor and glory, and we say thank you again for the fellowship that we have with you. In the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus, and all the saints said, amen, amen. Amen.